We're going to be hearing from God's Word, the Bible, now. Today's Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 30, and Jason is going to bring that for us now. And then Dylan will come and preach. Thanks, Jason.
Today's Bible reading is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 20. Just as a body, through so one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the God's Word.
I'm going to continue reading from verses 21 through to verse 30. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour. And the parts that are most unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
Thanks, John Drew. Thanks, Jason. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Let me pray before we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to sit under your Word. And this morning we pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit be at work in us so that, Father, we understand. And we also have the opportunity to respond in a way that honors you. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how can you contribute to us living our mission? How can you contribute to us living out our mission? Now, John Joe mentioned there were three things that we can do to contribute to living out this mission, our mission of glorifying God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. Who can remember the first way? Who can remember what John Joe mentioned last week? What is the first way that we can contribute, or you can contribute, to live out this mission? You know what?
Serving.
There you go. You and us, we contribute to this mission by living out, by serving serving, by using the gifts that God has given, the abilities that God has given in the church. I hope you wrote to John Joe. Now, I doubt that they wrote to you. I guess they couldn't remember the sermon from last week. So I hope you will take time to write to him and say, in what ways are you going to contribute to serve in this church? Today we are going to look at a second way of how you can contribute to us living out our mission. It is by partnership. Partnership. By partnering in mission. So we're going to think about three questions this morning. What is partnership? And why partnership in mission is important? And who can be a partner in mission? So what is partnership? What is partnership? Now, partnership is an intentional, committed, formal relationship between a Christian and a local church for the sake of the gospel. Partnership is an intentional, committed, formal relationship between a local church and an individual Christian for the sake of the gospel. In our case, it is between the Baptist Community Church, Burwood, and you. In our cultural context, isn't it? It is this term membership can imply that the church is something that you can join in order to get special privileges or benefits that others don't have. You merely join a church in the same way that you join a local health club or your community organization or a hotel loyalty program. Membership in those settings is that you pay a fee to join an organization in order to receive a service. Now, you get certain privileges by being a member. Now, I'm a member of the local RSL club, and I got the membership till the 2024. I've got a beautiful card with my photo on, and each time when I go, I can have a meal in one of the three clubs here in Burwood, and I get to accumulate points each time I eat a meal there. And if I can accumulate enough points, I can get a meal, perhaps after about 5 years of accumulating points. A local church, however, is not something you just join or become a member of. You partner with it. Partnership is less about special privileges. It is more about intentional commitment to a local church. You're willingly submitting to be accountable to a church. Your discipleship becomes the responsibility of this church. It is like being part of a team than joining your local RSL club. Because everyone has a part to play. I say to people who want to become members, what you're doing is you're signing up to do more work. Because everyone has a part to play because you are partnering in mission. If you remember in Acts chapter 42, we read this passage over and over again over the past few weeks. And Luke says the first believers of the first church were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. And this is what we do when we enter into a partnership with a local church, don't we? We devote ourselves to a common mission. We intentionally, formally devote or commit ourselves to the local church's mission. In our case, we commit ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit so that we can be followers and witnesses of Jesus and bring glory to God. So I feel the word partnership is kind of more appropriate to describe this intentional, committed, formal relationship between a Christian and a local church than the word membership. Now, the leaders, if you're sitting here, and the church, I'm not suggesting we go and change our constitution. No, we won't do that. We will still keep the word membership in our constitution, but we need to understand that being a member means much more than just attending church on a Sunday morning. It is an intentional commitment, if I can get this working. It's not working. Next one, please. It is an intentional commitment to be formally involved or have a relationship with a local church for the sake of the gospel. Thanks, Robert. So when I talk about, for clarity's sake, when I talk about partnership in mission, I'm talking about membership. Okay. Now, partnership or membership, is it biblical? Is it biblical? Does the Bible say, okay, you must become part of a local church? You must become a member of a local church, just like it says you must be saved through Jesus. Does it say that? Well, not really. There's no direct command. We have no record of the first believers living in Jerusalem deciding to be part of one congregation rather than another, because there was only one church in each city, and there was no need for a formal list of membership. And if you lived in Ephesus, you were part of the church in Ephesus. But there are evidences to support willing, committed, formal church membership or partnership in mission. For example, in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, the members of the local church in Antioch, they prayed and they decided to send Paul and Barnabas on mission. And we see in Acts chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas finishes their mission trip, they comes back. Where? They comes back to the church in Antioch. And they report all what they had done, because Paul and Barnabas were responsible and accountable to this local church in Antioch, to a group of believers. In the book of Acts, we find Paul and Barnabas, they go around on these mission trips, and wherever they planted a church, they planted a congregation, they appointed leaders and elders. In Acts chapter 20, Paul talks to the elders and he says, you are overseers. And they needed to be shepherds of the flock under their care. There was this identifiable group of people, and they belong to a local church. They came under the oversight of a pastor or a group of leaders. Now think about Matthew chapter 18. Jesus talks about discipline, the process of a church discipline. It says if someone sins, first you go and talk to him. And if he doesn't listen to you, then take two or three people from the church. And if they don't listen to you, then he says, well, don't go and put it to the newspaper. Don't go and put it on Facebook. No, you go and tell the church. And even if that person doesn't listen to the church should treat him like a pagan or a tax collector. Similar concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where Paul says there were people who should be excluded from the church. He says, exclude or expel the immoral brother from among you. You see, you can't exclude someone or expel someone unless they were once upon a time formally part of a group. They belong to a group. In Hebrews chapter 13, the writer says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. You see, although church membership or partnership in mission is not directly mentioned in the Bible, it is implied all over the New Testament. The local church operated with a group of Christians who were intentionally committed, and they committed themselves to a formal relationship with the local church for the sake of the gospel. Now, why is partnership important? Why is membership important? I want to give you four reasons. Partnership brings Christians together. Brings Christians together. It allows Christians from all nations and backgrounds and ages to come together, isn't it? In the passage that was read to us this morning, the Apostle Paul says in verses 12 to 13, "Now the barriers have been broken. Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, male, female, young, old, you all can come together, worship God together. Although we look different, now we are one in Christ. We are all united in the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit is at work in us and through us. Where does God bring us all together? He brings us all together to give the world a corporate witness of the power of the good news of Jesus." Remember what Peter says in 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions." Why? "So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness." You see, when you partner with a church, when you belong to a church, you realize that you're not alone in your beliefs. Because we all bear the same witness to the same gospel, the same truth, the same Bible. And the second thing that happens when we partner with a church, when we become members of a church, is it provides us a space to serve. Now, John just spoke lengthily about that last week, so I'm not going to speak lengthily about that. But again, it is what we hear in this passage, isn't it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 to 30. Partnership allows me to serve you with the gift God has given me. Partnership allows you to serve me with the gifts that God has given you. Partnership gives equal value for each one of us. Each of us is important. Each of us has a part to play. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "You and your gifts are a gift to the church to build it up." So when you partner with the church, you are building the church up. You serve the church. Third, partnership brings Christians under spiritual oversight of the church. As we saw from Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says to the leaders in Ephesus, he says, "Keep watch." Because pastors and elders, they have a responsibility over the members of a local church community. Just like a shepherd has the responsibility over a flock of sheep. Same in Hebrews chapter 13. The spiritual leaders keep watch over you because one day they have to give an account to God of your souls. So when you become partners in mission, when you become members of a local church, you're willingly submitting to the spiritual oversight of the church leaders. Pastors will have a clearer idea of who they are responsible for, isn't it? And it'll be good for us to know, who are we looking after? Who are we going to give account to God to one day? Who can we pray for? Who can we encourage? Who can we challenge? Who can we disciple? And part of this is disciplining, isn't it? Helping people to correct their ways so that they can be more and more like Jesus, to grow in their discipleship. And I think when you're a member or a partner of a local church, it is hard for the devil to get hold of you. It is not impossible, but it is hard. Why? Because not just the pastors, but you got to whole community that is caring for you. You're surrounded by a community of believers, a group of people who are publicly committed to love you, to serve you, to watch over you, and you will grow in your relationship with Jesus because you have a community committed to encourage you, to influence you, to build you up, to strengthen you, pray for you, to hold you accountable. In other words, now you have a tangible spiritual family who has your back and is committed to seeing you practice the ways of Jesus. Not on your own, but together. And the fourth reason why it is important to be a part of a local church or partnership in mission is that we get to partner in kingdom decision making. We get to partner in kingdom decision making. And we saw in Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch. They were involved in making decisions, right? They were involved in making the decisions of who to send onto the mission field. And we are told that while they were worshiping God, kind of led them, prompted them to set apart Paul and Barnabas. And they get to discern God's will and how to do mission. You see, God guides the local church about the mission that He is involved in this world. And this is what partners in missions get to do, isn't it? It's not that we get to vote. Yes, we do vote in our members' meetings. But it is not a democracy, is it? Where the majority vote wins. No, it is what we call, the church is called a theocracy, where God is at the center. Before we vote, before we make decisions, we pray, we listen to God, we seek God's wisdom, we seek to honor Him. Voting in a church members meeting or a partnership meeting is actually agreeing with God. It's not telling God what to do, it is agreeing with what God wants to do. And as partners in mission, we get to pray, listen to God, hear what God has to say. Together, we get to seek God. We don't allow only a few to make decisions. We get to be involved in discerning God's will for the local church. So here at Burwood Baptist Church, we are at a crucial stage, aren't we, in the life of our church? If you were part of the members' meeting last week, we talked about this. We've just adopted our brand new vision, mission, and value statements. And as I said last Sunday at the AGM, we are in a year of discernment. We need to think about and seek God's wisdom and clarity around our strategic priorities for the next 10 years. It is an opportunity for us to pray. It is an opportunity for us to listen to God together. It is an opportunity to partner with God with what He wants to do here at Burwood and beyond. And then you get to be part of that exciting season. The final question I want to look at with you is who can be in partnership? Who can be in partnership? As we said, partnership in mission is an intentional, committed, formal relationship between a Christian and a local church for the sake of the gospel. Because of that, it is important that partnership in a church, partners in a local church, are believers. All believers are part of this church. They are the ones who have repented of their sins. They have trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And they are striving to live lives that honors God. Again, back to Acts chapter 2, Luke says, as the church devoted themselves to teaching, the fellowship, the outreach and worship and prayer, what did God do? He started adding people to their number. What sort of people did he add? Those who have been saved. Not just people from the street, no, those who have been saved were added to the church. Now, how did they know they were being saved? How did the church know that they were being saved? Just a couple of verses earlier. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Luke says, they were the ones who accepted the good news of Jesus. They were the ones who repented of their sins and turned to God. And as a public sign of their turning to God, they were the ones who had been baptized. And about 3,000 of the baptized believers were added to their number that day. So here at Burwood Baptist Church, we invite those who have been baptized by full immersion to become partners in mission or members. Because we believe baptism is one way of giving testimony to your relationship with Jesus. It is one way of giving testimony to your obedience to Jesus, your commitment to follow Jesus. Because if you are going to be part of the body of Christ, serving one another, come under the spiritual oversight of the church, and going to be involved in kingdom decision making, going to be involved in the mission of glorifying God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus, then friends, it is so important that you are part of the kingdom. That you have a relationship with God through Jesus, that you are in tune with the Holy Spirit. So if you are a member of the church, of a local church, of this local church, fantastic. Remember, you have become partners in mission. Enjoy being part of the body of Christ and serving one another. Be involved in kingdom decision making. Be involved in the process that we have started in strategic priorities, in discerning the strategic priorities. And if you are not a member, let me ask you, why not? What is stopping you from being an intentional, committed, formal partner with your local church? Is it a past hurt that's stopping you? That you've been burnt by a previous church? Is it because you don't want to overcommit? Is it because you don't agree with a secondary matter, a theological disagreement, or a practice that we have here that you don't agree? Or you might be thinking, well, I don't need to become a member to serve or to member to do all the above. I already do that. Why do I need to become members? The only thing that I can't do is vote, make decisions. Now you might be saying, well, I don't want to make decisions, so I'll just keep silent. If this is you, or if you want to become a partner, if you want to become a member at the Baptist Community Church, we would love to have a chat with you. You can speak to me, or John Joe, or Paul, one of our elders. We'd love to have a chat with you and see how we can help you to make those decisions. Because when you become a partner in mission, you get to contribute to us living out our mission. The mission of being guided by the Holy Spirit to glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. Partners in mission. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for rescuing us from darkness and bringing us into your marvelous light. Thank you for the church, the local church. Oh, that you have kept the local church as a witness to the power of the gospel, to your love. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be part of what you are doing through the local church, to be partners in mission, to be in partnership with the local church. So, Father, I pray for each one of us. Thank you for the gifts and the skills you have given. Thank you, Father, for the journey that we are all in. And help us to see the importance of being part of a local church in a formal, committed, and intentional relationship with the local church. And as pastors and leaders, help us to care for the flock that you have kept under us. And so we thank you, Father, for this morning. We ask all these, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.